Hello everyone, it's Tim Emerson of Kuan Yin Healing, and I'm talking today with Sheila Applegate. Sheila is a consciousness coach, presenter, the author of Enchanted One, The Portal to Love, and she's the founder of the Consciously Awesome Coaching Program. Sheila began her life's work with a bachelor's degree in social work from Syracuse University and a master's degree in clinical social work from the University of Maryland. After years of studying metaphysics, Sheila was ordained as minister through the Light of Divine Truth Foundation. And for over 20 years, she's combined her broad formal training and personal awakenings to bring forth the message of conscious living through divine love. Sheila encourages us to embrace our passions as earthly service by living within a conscious alignment with source energy. I've actually come across Sheila. We belong to some common groups, and I've always thought, you know, we really should connect and talk. And so I'm really looking forward to this. Today she's going to talk about grief, a gateway to grace. So Sheila, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad. So I love the title of this talk, Grief, a Gateway to Grace. What a beautiful way to start. Can you tell a little bit about this? How is grief a gateway to grace?
Well, I think our whole talk will be about that. But to start with, I came to this understanding. I've experienced a lot of grief in my life, some unusual experiences with death and tragic death and even terrorism. So what I learned along the way, it really, when I looked back upon it, is that these experiences have helped to mold me and helped to create the person that I am today and the state of grace that I live in. So I think when people think about loss and grief, it's something that we try to push through and in our society, to be honest, suppress most of the time. But when we can turn and embrace it and find the gems within it, the beauty within it, it actually is a beautiful gateway to opening us not only to a deeper connection with spirit, but also to deeper relationships with the people that are around us and alive every day that are in our lives. And it sets a structure when we look at it from the higher perspective. It gives us a structure in which we can live every day in grace.
So that's really interesting in that, you know, in the abstract it makes sense. I'm picturing myself, you know, at a time when I've been in grief, when that's probably a hard thing to do. And so how did you manage to make that shift?
Well, I don't want to sugarcoat that. You're absolutely right. This is not a theory. And that's why I want to let me explain a little bit about some of the experiences with grief that I've had, just so everyone can understand that this is not some fluffy, fluffy idea that came out of the concept and not the reality. Of course, I've had all the usual experiences of grief that we have when we lose our grandparents or some, you know, natural death of a loved one over time or just changing relationships, moving, all of those things that we experience as grief. In addition to that, some of the more unusual experiences that I had, starting out when I was in college, I was the only social work student to return from the Syracuse University program in London, and almost all of the students that I had spent the semester with in a very intimate situation, because you're in a country together, outside, away from home, before email and Hangouts and all of those communication devices that we now have, but that was the time of the Pan Am bombing over Lockerbie. So at that point, I had, you know, my first experience of incredible loss of multiple people to a terrorist event. And, of course, that's overwhelming. that is also the moment that I really realized that I could communicate with people from the other side to bring comfort. I was at my friend's parents' house. I had never met them before. She was from Maryland, and she died on the plane, and I went to their home for a memorial. And after a whole day of them asking me questions, because they didn't know, we didn't have communication with home. So the last several months of her life, they didn't really know much about because she hadn't returned. And so I was telling them, you know, she was one of the people I hung out with the most. So I was telling all her experiences and sharing that. And I stayed at their home. And that night while I was in bed, she appeared and she sat on the bed with me. And I'm not going to say I didn't have experiences like that throughout my life, because I kind of did when I was younger. So it wasn't really, I mean, it was different than I'd ever experienced, but it wasn't anything huge for me. But the key thing in that one is she had a message for her parents. And so in that moment, I had to make a decision. Well, in the morning, do I tell these people that I just met what their daughter said? You know, I don't know. And I ended up making the decision to tell her mother, and she received it so beautifully. And I think that incident was the incident that allowed me to open up and serve others in that way throughout my life. So there's one example of very specific, fairly quickly, the experience of grief transforming into a grace. I also, just to give an overview, I lost my nephew at 18 months. He was sent home on hospice and given 24 hours to live. And for 2 weeks, my family, my sister, my sisters and my family, we held this small, beautiful child in our arms and helped him to cross over. So the grief of a child that I loved so dearly and watching that experience. My best friend, my first deep soul connection, who also happened to be from England. I had met her in high school at a high school exchange, and she was just my closest friend. She died of cancer around the same time. Not too many years later, my twin flame, my other deep soul connection, best friend and partner, was killed in a hit and run. So that's not to say like I'm loading up all those tragedies right now, but I'm just really saying that for listeners, because I think when we hear grief and people talking about being on the other side of it or using it, it's easy to say, well, they don't understand. Right. So I just wanted to take a moment and tell everyone I do understand. I understand it from even more angles than I just explained. And even beyond death, like in the divorce, I grieved the divorce or the separation from my husband leading up to it, and ended up we have a beautiful relationship now as co-parents and friends. So, you know, it goes beyond the grief of loved ones, but it's also just life in general, and I've lived it. And in that process, I found a state of grace and joy and consciousness that makes every moment, even the difficult ones, filled with love and grace.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Sheila. So for somebody who has or is going through grief listening to this and in those early stages, how do they start down this path?
Well, acknowledge it. You know, I know when probably all of the situations, but in that one that I remember the most was when my twin flame was hit by the car and killed suddenly. I remember my mom saying to me, I think you should go to a doctor and get on something. I don't know how you could possibly handle this. You know, I had young kids and She knew the depth of our connection. And I mean, I remember looking at her and being like, how could I do that? That would just stagnate everything. And I'm not saying to someone, it's not a judgment of someone who chooses that, but to me, diving in and allowing for it and allowing yourself to feel it and to cry and to experience that is so important. And it can feel like you'll never come up. I remember actually the birthday that I had almost a year after that, my friends tried to do a surprise party for me. It doesn't really work with a psychic, but they did a good attempt. but when I got there, I really didn't want to go. I didn't want to celebrate it, but, you know, I knew I had to because I knew what was happening. So, but when I got there, it was on the cake, it said, "We're glad you stayed." And that was the most loving birthday cake I've ever experienced because they said, "We get it. We know how deep this grief was this year. And we know how much you didn't even want to be here, maybe." And I think people experience that level of grief. Yeah. And it's okay to go that deep and to experience it and to know that there is another side to it. Like, it does, it feels like it will never get better, but it does. It does. So allowing, our society doesn't really, it's not comfortable with deep emotion, but just giving yourself permission, putting yourself around people who at least understand a little bit, you know, friends that would put that on a cake, they may not have been able to be there and conceive in every moment. And sometimes during my grief, I'm sure I made them uncomfortable, but they knew enough to give me that space and to hold that space for me. And I think, you know, finding people, whether it's a support group or a counselor or friends who can hang in there with you, because a lot of times we think, oh, you know, it's difficult for a few weeks and now they should be over it. And that's not the reality.
Yeah. Right. When at the time, everyone is all over and caring and supportive, and then they go about their lives and you're still there.
Exactly. And it doesn't change. And it doesn't change for a long time. And I think that's the other thing. You know, most of those, all of those situations I just shared with you happened at least 10 years ago for me now. That's great, right? I'm finally on a good swing here. but that doesn't mean that I'm not gonna out of nowhere start to cry. But and one of those things may trigger me. Even here in this conversation going into the topic, really my mind didn't tell me that saying that out loud again would be sad, because in my head it wasn't. But now I can feel those tears wanting to come up. And, you know, it may be something that I smell in the air or something that I see that brings back, and you're in that moment. And so to know it's okay when those tears come up, don't analyze or think you should be over it, because you never will. You know, now they're fewer between, and the tears may only last 1 second or 10 seconds or 3 minutes. But it doesn't go away. And that's with someone, and that's what we're going to talk about even more, is connecting with them, letting the relationship continue. So even though I'm in relationship with all of my loved ones who crossed over, because there's no reason not to be, and we'll dive into that concept, but even with that, I still feel nostalgia. I still miss the five senses. I miss being able to touch them, to smell them, you know, right, to feel their love, to laugh, hear their laughter. That's never going to go away. And I remember when my beloved had crossed over, and, you know, we were so telepathic with each other. We really had this down, and he crossed in a beautiful, amazing way, even though it was tragic. And I could feel him. I mean, he was so alive. When my daughter wasn't crying at the wake, and people were concerned, because in his tradition, there's a 10-day wake, and so people started noticing she wasn't crying, and they were concerned. And she's like, people don't get it. He never left me, you know?
Right.
And that's true. Like, that's how alive he was. But I still had to cry. And he used to sit there. And when I'd come back from crying or grieving or being so sad, he'd just be like, you know, it's like he was just waiting for me. Like, I couldn't, he was still there. I couldn't feel him because my attention was on the past
right.
and the missing. So that creates a gap. But the compassion that he offered me to know that I still had to do that and that he'd just be there when I wasn't doing that is a beautiful thing. And it doesn't matter how much you know. So there's probably a lot of you probably listening are light workers. You have done some of this work. You do know, perhaps, you know, how to meditate and connect, or you have a belief system that says you can. And we have to watch that, too, because sometimes that gets us in a predicament. Like, well, I should know better. I should be
grieving.
But,
just before we get into that aspect, I wanted to offer just a little bit affirmation of what you've said here about surrendering.
Okay.
Again, same kind of thing. So it's like, well, that's wonderful for Sheila, but, you know, it happens to all of us.
Right.
You know, I have myself experienced when I'm going through extremely deep emotional pains that the first time I had this metaphor of, you know, it was like walking through a wall of fire.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there is fear, there is resistance, there's poor me, there's everything I can possibly throw at. And I realized I have no choice but to walk through this. And oddly, two things happened. One is I had to really deepen my connection to the divine because I had nothing else. The
right.
only way to walk through that was with the divine. And the other is that once I had walked through it, things were better. So when things come up now, and as they, you know, every so often something comes up, I'm not any more excited about doing it.
Right.
But I know, you know, before I was scared, and then it just had to, in the end, trust to blind faith. But now I can do that with knowledge and going, okay, it hurts. Feel what you need to feel. Walk through. It's going to be better. It doesn't feel like it, but it's going to be better. And I can do that today with knowledge.
Which is, yeah, that's a wonderful thing. And I use that same analogy of the ring of fire. And one of the things that I always say, too, is when you get to the middle of that fire ring, like when you're right in the middle of it, it feels maybe overwhelming and you want to go back. But if you visualize the ring of fire, like you're saying, going back, you have to go just as far to get back, and then you're still in the center and you have to do it all again. So when you hit that point where it feels like, oh, my God, this is so much, then think of that image. I love that you just said it because that's what I used to think of that image and think, oh, my gosh, well, going back and suppressing this is
right.
not going to be fun.
Right.
I got to just keep going. It's quicker to go, and then I'll be out of it. I'll be on the other side where I can feel that freedom again.
And that I'm also reminded of, I think it was Winston Churchill who pointed this out first, when you're going through hell, for God's sakes, don't slow down.
Exactly. And that's what we do, you know? That's what our society is all about lately. Like, suppress it, slow it down, numb it, you know? Like, why? Why would you do that? Just get through it.
Right. And the other thing I just wanted to reaffirm before we moved on here was about relationships continuing with people who have passed, and there are, I won't take a lot of time, just of many examples. There are, you know, times when, and this is way before any kind of belief in any of this, but where, you know, flat out my grandfather came back at times when I really needed, mm-hmm. you know, to be moved from where I was. And as clear as if I'm, you know, if I'd met him on the street, you know, even to it's a little thing. You know, my dog died in February, and earlier this week, I had this dream where I saw her walking outside, and I said, "Shanti, come on!" And then, you know, and she and I was kind of surprised, and she came in, you know, and I was petting her, and she's all, you know, not like when she's died, she's all beefy and happy, you know. And it took me, you know, in a dream, who knows? It seemed in my dream to be maybe 3 minutes or so when it suddenly occurred to me, it's like, and I said to her, I wasn't expecting you.
Right.
You know, and I had forgotten that she had passed. It was
right.
Just, you know, and it took me a while for that to redo that connection. And you know, but also the other thing is, Ted, the healing work that I do is, since it's stress, it's not simply our own healing energy, but rather our connection to all things. It's relatively common for people during a session to see people who quote aren't there, unquote. You know, mm-hmm. How did it go? It's like, you know, it's like my grandmother was holding my hand, or you know, my aunt had a message for me, or things of that nature. Or when I had first experienced this, when my back was healed, it's like people who I to this day don't know who they are straightened out my spine and took away my degenerative disc disease. And it's you know, so it's and they haven't talked to me since, but
they did what they needed to do.
Right. We're busy, kid. Go deal with life. So it's when you know, I can sometimes, it can when people say things, it can sound like wishful thinking or perception, but I have learned, I have seen it over and over and over again. It's a very, very real thing.
Right, and I think that's perfect. That actually leads right into what I would say is my next step of dealing with grief or using grief as a gateway to grace, and that's in releasing limiting beliefs that make us feel alone. So you're really touching on the idea that there are so many beliefs that we are inundated with before we even get to choose about what happens after life. And it could be, you know, whatever you believe happens after life. It could be that you don't relate to spirit, that there's a veil or a wall between you. It could be that it's scary because you can't trust yourself to know if it's the devil or God coming through your loved one, or you won't be able to know. Or it may be a belief that you'll hold people back by connecting to them. These are a lot of beliefs that don't really support us. And then there's even, do I even believe in life after death? And so what I think is really important is to examine your beliefs and see if they're supporting you or not in being happy in this moment, because we really aren't going to know. When I was I was actually in high school, in a philosophy class in high school, and they were debating whether there was life after death, and something just clicked in. I had been raised in a Protestant home and did feel connected to God and in a very religious but also spiritual way. And I was being challenged at that time, you know, with science and just trying to figure out for myself what I wanted. And as the class debated it, all of a sudden it clicked in and I was like, we're not going to know until we die. There is no way to be absolutely sure about this until I die. So what am I going to choose to believe while I'm alive to make my life more enjoyable? And that was in high school. I made the decision that I would believe what would support my life and figure it out when I died, you know, because I'm not going to know. And I think that piece changed my life. And I think it can change all of our lives when we realize that, because, like you said, once I allowed that to be, I have so much evidence that there is communication after. It's been validated because people come into my, you know, they received a reading and I had access to information that I never knew that person. So there's definitely something beyond the physical in my experience. But the thing is, if you're still questioning if you're atheist or if something happens and if it's constantly kind of in the back of your head, let's say this, if this is the one question that you don't get to say I was right, because if nothing happens when you're dead, then nothing happens. So if that fear is not helpful to you in this lifetime, then let it go and just say, you know what, if I'm wrong and after life some, you know, I just don't exist, I'm not going to be existing, so I'm not going to know it. But if I'm right, you know, then I get to exist. And what's going to make me happy here? Now, being atheist and believing in nothing happening after actually might make you happy here. If it makes you make choices that support you in life, then go for it. But I think that is the next key. And I don't know your experience with that, Tim, but that belief, looking at our beliefs and really just choosing, taking control of it and choosing to throw out the ones that aren't supporting us in a happy life.
Well, it's funny. You remind me of a story I just heard this morning that I think is a nice metaphor for this. But what actually happened was the speaker had been, was on vacation at a resort with his wife. And he said, I think I'm going to take out one of those one-person sailboats. And she said, honey, you've never sailed and you don't swim very well. And he said, it's part of the package and I'm going to enjoy every bit of it. So so I got in a sailboat. And if you've ever been in a similar situation, I know I have, except I could swim. But he took the sailboat and sure enough, 100 feet offshore, it capsizes. And so he's like, okay, don't panic. Hang on to the boat, tread water. You know, and the people who rent, you know, who lay out the boats are, you know, he waves to them and they wave back. And and he's, so he's out there treading water, don't panic and hang on the boat. And finally, you know, they get into the power boat and they just kind of putt over to him. And one of them jumps out of the power boat and walks over to him.
That's beautiful. What a great story.
Isn't that
exactly.
A great metaphor? You know, it's if you believe it, it's true, even if it's
if it's not.
Totally
right.
Not. The other thing I wanted to share about this was, you know, just one of the happiest moments in my life, which came out of a period of great pain, but I remember it vividly. Which was, you know, people will talk about things like acceptance, and often people talk about acceptance, and they really mean resignation. When I realized that this is like, okay, I am not going to understand everything, and I like to understand things.
Right.
You know, look at this telesummit, right? I realized I am not going to understand many things. But this, it's the second realization that was the powerful one, and that's okay.
I think, yeah.
It's okay. There's many, when I let go of that need to understand everything and realize I could still move forward, man, life got easier. Things happen, and that's just things happen, other than, oh my God, you can't believe what happened! It's like, you know, I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, I think that need to understand it's an instinct to try to, it's like to solve the problem, right? If I understand this, then I can make sure it doesn't happen again, or I can comfort myself with a reasoning for it. And, you know, anything that works for you in the moment, but when you just allow yourself to experience it, that's when the grace and magic pours in.
Right. When I'm talking to people about building foundations, when some, you know, often people naturally they're going to gravitate to me when they have some spiritual belief. But when people have little or none, I ask them to go, well, just what do you believe? And that, like, well, I don't believe in any God. Okay, I didn't ask you what you don't believe. What do you believe? And really getting clear about that. So, well, I just think, you know, it's all about nature and we're born or we die. Great. That's not nothing. That's something.
Right.
And I said, you know what? That's your new spiritual program, you know, and devote some time to it. Grab yourself some tea in the morning. Go sit by your favorite tree and think about how it's all just nature. We're born and then we die. And the thing of it is, instead of going off into our heads, you've chosen that one belief that you do believe, and you start constructing life around that. And no matter how small and silly it may seem, if you do that every day, I have found, and I encourage other people to do, it grows. It grows in ways that you will not, you cannot imagine until you've done this.
I think that's brilliant, because really a lot of times what we're doing in these situations is pushing against instead of allowing what is,
yeah.
like you said. You
yeah.
know, we're saying, we're focusing on the not this, but then what's left?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
is it then? What's there? Because something has to be there.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. As well as that, you also reminded me of the work of Byron Katie. Are you familiar with her work?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This whole, you know, what's the belief behind this? Is that serving you, as you said? And then, well,
right.
what would be an empowering belief? Like, well, I think that's silly. Okay, but what would happen differently if you believed that? It doesn't even have to be true. It changes
right.
what There's happens next. Here. And so it becomes
yeah.
true, essentially.
exactly. It really does, because we're creating our life in every moment. And most of the time it's based on beliefs we didn't even realize we accepted.
Right.
They just are. They just have been. They've been put on us by society, by religion, by parents, by teachers, you know,
right.
all with good intentions, mostly, probably. But...
Well,
that
like
doesn't
Abraham.
Mean they work for us, and they have to evolve, right? What works, and even a great belief, even a belief that we grew into, we can grow out of.
Yeah, like Abraham says, a belief is just a thought we continue to think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we grow up, and we're raised, and maybe we have wonderful influences, but we form this idea about what is right and proper and normal based on our experiences, negative or wonderful or in between, and that you know, and that's a very natural thing to do. And then we decide, so this is how the world is. And that's almost certainly false.
Right.
It's our perception of the world.
And yes, it's a false that becomes true for us because
exactly.
we've decided it. And
just,
so therefore we
just,
continue to gather
yeah,
evidence.
Just stand up.
Right, exactly.
I can't stand up. I'll drown.
At least test to see if you can stand up,
there
right?
Or consider the possibility. One of my favorite
exactly.
questions, I forgot.
What if I'm in shallow water?
Right, right. I can't do that. You know, I can't do this. Well, what if you could? What would that look like?
Right.
What if you could?
Right.
What would that look like?
That's beautiful. And I think that that is then, you know, moving into the process of grieving and transforming into the gateway again, once you've released some of these beliefs. And I'm not saying you're going to change all of these right in the middle of the depth of your grief. Maybe you will, because if it's just not working, like you said, that fire, you start just at least trying new things, and that's part of the grace. But once you move into a place where you allow that connection with your loved one, we're talking about mostly grief of death, but like I said, I grieved, you know, my husband when I knew we were moving towards changing the form of our relationship. I remember crying for multiple Christmases thinking this is going to be our last Christmas together, you know, mm-hmm. as a family. And I've been separated from him for I don't know how many years now, and probably like over 15, and we still do a part of Christmas together with the kids, you know. It didn't change. Our form changed. And that would be the thing, whether it's somebody alive, like we have to, you know, I grieve my toddlers. I have kids in college now, and sometimes I look, you know, I'm walking down the park, and a little kid reminds me of their childhood, and I let myself feel that sadness because that little child, I mean, their soul is the same, but that little child's gone. Like, they hover over me, you know?
Right.
And so that allowing to change, and especially when someone has moved to the spirit world, we don't get to see them the way we used to. We have to start a whole new way of communicating with them. One of the things that I see people really getting hung up with is they hold the person to who they were when they were alive or what they said. And people change. They've changed at the end of their life. People are always changing. And so when someone dies, they don't want to be held to what they said when they were alive. It may or may not be true, but give them a chance to tell you what they are like now, what their experiences are. And even if it feels like your imagination, you know, meditation will help with that. Just start dialoguing, and if it feels like your imagination, that's okay, because eventually they'll show you that it's more than your imagination. But let them be who they want to be now, whether you're grieving a form of a relationship or a stage of a relationship, or you're grieving someone who's crossed over. Let it grow. Let it become more than it was, and learn from them. Listen to them as much as talking to them.
That's beautiful. And it's true. We tend to think of everything as just, I grow up and then I'm adult and then that's it, you know?
Right.
I have both experienced, and I frequently talk to people who are like, man, this always worked for me and now it's not working. And what am I doing wrong? Where did I go wrong? It's, you didn't go wrong. It's just you were in your 40s and now you're in the 50s. You don't have the same body. You don't have the same situation. You don't have the same thoughts. The old things aren't going to work because that's not who you are anymore.
Exactly. And I think we've all experienced that when we've gone home, right? Like gone home to the family. I mean, people talk about going home to their family for holidays, even maybe when they're in their 50s and their parents are in their 70s. And they get treated like they were so many years ago. You know, sometimes, I mean, that doesn't always happen, but a lot of times it's those people that watched us grow up so closely that they kind of stopped, like you said, like whatever you were back then, that's who you are now. And that's so frustrating to us. So imagine how frustrating that is when we do it to someone else, whether they're living or dead. It's the same frustration. It's like, oh my gosh, can't you just see me for who I am now? Because I'm not that person, you know?
Right.
And then when you're really fluid and evolving, it could be yesterday. You know, I'm always saying to people, well, just because I said that yesterday doesn't mean that that's true for me today, you know?
Right.
A lot can happen in one day.
Yeah, I think we have a tendency to think, why can't they just, or why don't they just, or I don't understand. And we really have to learn, honestly, I think it's a maturity to step back and say, they have to, and they need to, and they have the right to go through what they need to go through. And it doesn't have anything to do with us.
Exactly.
It's where they are and what they need to go through.
And what a gift we give. So if we learn this with the people who crossed over to the spirit world, and then we apply it to the people who are alive, either way, this is the gift that we offer when we allow our relationships we allow the person to grow, we allow our relationships to transform. So just as, because every moment that we're a new person, which is almost every moment, so is the other person, and therefore so is our relationship. So this works across the board. I know it seems we like to compartmentalize and think communication with death is not this, people who have died is very different than communication with people who are alive, but it's really the same thing. And when we apply these principles to whatever we're grieving, whether the person is still with us in the physical form or not, then we watch our relationships transform and grow in every moment. And that's a state of grace.
How beautiful. Beautiful. So a relationship with someone after death then is, could even, you know, not only ask, but you know, your relationship could actually grow and strengthen as you form a relationship with this new phase of their growth and evolution.
Right. In fact, it almost has to if you open to it, right? Because all of those little things that got in your way, yes, you're grieving those. The physicality is what you miss, and there's something so unique and beautiful about that that we only experience when we're alive on Earth. But the true essence, right? So any obstacles we think of people who died as being more separate than us, but than when they're alive from us, than when they're alive, but actually they're less separate because it's our bodies, it's our belief systems, it's our circumstances, our attention to that physicality between us that actually separates us. So once someone dies, again, you still feel the grief. That's expected. And we miss the beauty of the physical experience. But we gain the essence of two souls dancing with each other. We gain the ability to see who that person was beyond the limitations of their circumstances, and we begin to feel seen and understood in a way that we never have before. And the beautiful thing is this, we don't actually have to wait till they die to start doing that, because we can choose to connect through meditation and through dreams and through, you know, healing work. And we can whether the person's alive or dead, we can start our relationship with that aspect of their soul and if we do that, if we apply this to our relationships before we lose the form through death, then it enhances all of our relationships. And when we realize we have access to doing this and we learn how to do this, we get to love deeper and we get to show up in relationships because we're not trying to protect ourselves from the loss. So that's why we have difficulty in relationships, is we try to put forms around them, we try to make them be something to make them feel safe so that we can get our needs met, because what if we lose them, you know? And so we're either putting our guard up in case we lose them, or we're putting a structure to try not to lose them. So when all this goes out the door, when we open up and realize that it's just a continuation. It's the gateway, right? It opens up everything, and now life and death and relationships all are in that flow of grace.
So, for example, if a relationship is crumbling apart, instead of like, oh my God, what is happening? Just like, no, the structure you brought to this relationship is crumbling apart. Let the new one grow up.
Right. And then you can still love, right? Love actually doesn't die. It never goes away. Like can go away. You can stop liking someone. You can even decide you don't want them in your physical life anymore because that doesn't work for you. But that doesn't mean that you can't love them or start to shift your relationship to the soul. We so often want to make someone a bad person when things get bumpy because we're trying to protect our heart. We don't want to lose that. We want to push it away before we feel the hurt. And when we realize it's okay, like we could come together for a little while and go apart. That person could have a different perception of me, and I can still see their soul and remember their soul and let them go. Or move in a different direction with them.
You know, it's really interesting, Sheila. My mother died young, in her 50s, of a rare cancer. And it's when she died, I mean, we had spent most of our time together in the physical world shouting at each other. It's been many years ago now, but it's interesting how you caught me thinking about this, how that relationship has in fact transformed over time. It took time. It didn't happen all at once, you know, but there is a real peace there now, that at first was just, you know, but there isn't even a regret there anymore. There's just like, things happen and they happen for this reasons. That's who we were. That's what we were trying to do. We were wrong, but it happens. And which is just, that whole thing is in a different place now.
That is so important because we live so much of our life, you know, thinking about that. Like, if how horrible or how difficult is it if the story ends when they leave, whether they leave in death or they leave in divorce or they just go move across the world. If you don't ever get, you know, like they are thinking, oh my gosh, my last words were this, and then you stay in that story and beat yourself up, or I missed this, or I, you know, that becomes a story for you the rest of your life that you create a victim mentality around in some form. But because you're trapped, there's no way out of that if you can't continue communication or at least trust. If even, you know, if hearing us say continue communication with a loved one is too pushing too far against a belief of yours, then prayer, you know, praying to something that helps to blend it, or energy, or, you know, having the opportunity to continue the storyline is so important to the person that's living, too. It's important to both, but it's important to the person who's living, too, because if not, you're stuck. You're stuck in... there's no way out, because if the story can't continue, then it just is.
It's interesting, too. You got me thinking, Sheila. You're good at this. I lost a mentor last year, a gentleman like 35 years my senior, who a lot of my colleagues were new. And it's not that we haven't had, you know, people we've known jointly cross before. And grieve, but it was like it was about 3 months before I mentioned this to somebody. But you know, I still see I still swear I see him out of the corner of my eye, here and there, and you know, I mentioned that finally to maybe half a dozen people eventually, and every one of them said, "Yeah, the same thing's happening to me."
Mm-hmm.
and that hasn't something that happened routinely, you know, with
right.
other people. It was just like, yeah. And the other thing is, I don't think I either accepted or rejected this. I don't think I thought about it until this moment. But at the memorial service, and you know, I had my share of tears. Certainly, I really, you know, in a memorial service, you're thinking about, you know, you're looking at, hey, you know, this was a life well lived. It was a celebration, not a mourning. But
right.
But I swear, I can, you know, hear his voice in my head going, "So that's how it's done, kid. You got it?" Now, do it.
Right. That's awesome. I love that.
All right. So, so this is, so far more than... helping us through grieving a loss. This really is a blueprint for dealing with life, for all those little losses that we happen in our lives, is it not?
Absolutely. And I think that is the key, and that is what I mean by the gateway, right? The gateway to grace, because when we stop seeing grief as an entity that we fear and have to trudge through or avoid and bring it into the fold and make it a part of our life and grieve along the way, then it becomes more natural. It allows for all these openings that we spoke about. You know, like I said, I'm grieving my children every step of the way. So when it comes to the later stages, I'll maybe only have to grieve the adult selves or something as I cross. Right now, both of my parents have Alzheimer's. So that's another example of I'm continually grieving as they're still here physically, but each stage there's a part of them, a remembrance. It's a bittersweet, beautiful way to experience the small griefs on the way, and it's timelessness too, of establishing our new relationships with them. It actually can be a gift, because we have to start, we're forced, even when they're here, to start communicating with their higher selves as well. So it applies to every single area. And when we change our mindset about that and let grief in, life just is better, you know?
Yeah.
Grace is filling us, and we get to love better. And again, it doesn't take away the pain. I'm not about, I think you can live an incredible, happy, passionate, joy-filled life and actually feel joy in every moment. But that joy is when, joy in every moment is when there's this knowing that you're not disconnected in those fire rings of pain. So even when you're in it, it does, you know, 90% of you doesn't feel joy. But that one little point of you knows what's going on and is like, yes, you know, we're getting there. We're going to do
right.
This is awesome. Like, it sucks and it's awesome because I know that I'm moving towards a deeper love. I know now I get to see that soul for who he really is, and we get this whole new relationship. And at the same time, it sucks. <You know?
laughs> I think of it as layers of the onion. It's like, okay,
yes.
This hurts, but I, you know, feel what you need to feel, and you're working through another layer of the onion, and there's something better, even if you don't know what it's, what you're going to. It's an important part of your process, and it's not someplace you want to stay and stagnate.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, as well as moving towards these things, you know, you know, that mourning the toddler, there's also the, you know, finding the incredible people they become.
Exactly.
I remember an ex-girlfriend who, you know, we broke up because at the time I was mainly in love with alcohol. When we reconnected years later, it's not that we restarted the relationship or anything. We're very good friends today. But she said to me once, I'm glad I got to meet the man I always knew you were.
Nice.
And so there's that letting go, but there's also the who they become and celebrating that. And
right. Well, and that's it. The grieving allows us to, right? Because I'm acknowledging, you know, using that example or using the children example. I don't grieve my children because I love them being around me, and sometimes I miss them when they're not here. I cry when I take them back to college for a minute. But it's by letting go, by acknowledging and feeling that I've grieved every stage of their relationship, then I can just fully love them and see them for who they are. I'm not trying to make them anything less. I'm not trying to hold them back. I'm excited for who they are now. I get to show up more fully. So when I talk about the grief, and I like the child metaphor or example, because we, you know, it's watching us grow, but I do it on myself, you know, and the older I get, the more time, sometimes I just grieve that person that I was when I was a teenager. I don't want to be that person anymore, but she was pretty awesome, you know, and then maybe in my 30s or whatever, there's phases of my life, and some were hard, some were exciting, and we're going to remember, you know, the good, the bad, but the dramatic, probably. So just taking time to acknowledge that in my own life and everybody I'm in relationship with just lets me show up more fully in each moment.
How beautiful. You know, it's one of my favorite activities to go hiking in the mountains and in the high peaks. It's also for me a metaphor because it's... you know, there's that beautiful waterfall, there's that peaceful little stream, there's that great lookout, and there's that awesome view from the top. But it's a process that involves hardship, struggle, not all of it's fun. And the most beautiful parts of it are, by nature, temporary. You can't sit at the waterfall all day. You can't sit at the top all day. You just can't. So it's, you know, even going through that, it's something that, you know, is passing through, and that's all part of what it means to go climbing in the mountains.
beautiful.
You know, yeah. It's all each that collection of moments. This is a moment. It's going to pass. It's okay. It's part of how it works.
Right.
You know, it's a cliche to talk about life as a journey, but life is a journey.
It really is. You know, someone came up with that for a reason. It just is. Like,
right. That's why life is, nobody ever said life is a park bench. No.
Right. I'd like to meet the person who would say that. That would be an interesting discussion. Our life is a destination, right?
Right. I sense a blog post coming on. All right. Wow, what a wonderful vision, Sheila, of grieving, and especially of grace. You know, and what a shift in perspective. It is. I always think of the word grace. You know, the best definition I ever heard is it's not something you earn. It's something that's simply given, and
right.
And just, you know, and just it's not a matter of, well, if I feel my feelings and walk through there, maybe I too will be given some peace. It's like, no, you just will, because that's what's on the other side.
Right, and in reality, it's around everywhere, right? To me, I would take it to the next step and say, grace just is. And when we remember, we rest into it. So the journey isn't to get to grace. It's just to remember how to rest into the grace that's always with us.
Yeah.
And
Buddhist,
and along Buddhist the journey, said, sometimes we accidentally slip into it. But
yeah.
But when we do the process work, when we shift our beliefs and allow ourselves to grow, then we learn the technique to rest into it in each moment.
Yeah. Buddha said it's just like crossing to the other side of the river.
Mm-hmm.
No more complicated than that. There's a Zen master who on his deathbed, his teacher said, give us one last teaching, master. And he said, I spent my whole life selling water by the river.
That's awesome.
So, wow. Thank you. What an enlightening viewpoint. If people want to learn more about this and about the work that you do, how would they go about that?
Well, I have a meditation, a guided meditation audio, on consciouslyawesome.com called Grief, the Gateway to Grace. So this is actually designed just for everybody listening, but other people
awesome.
Can hear it as well. But I created a audio so that each person can take this next step and apply it. To me, meditation, I developed a technique called conscious meditation. That won't be completely captured in this audio because it's a longer technique, but I'll draw from that and help people to apply it right in the moment, because I don't want this just to be theory. Hopefully, you know, we changed a few of the brain waves and opened up some gateways, but really just feeling it, experiencing it is the next step. So that's why I've offered the audio to help you do that. So just go to consciouslyawesome.com. And it'll be in the blog post, so look for the blog post that is entitled Grief, the Gateway to Grace. And I'll have the audio right there for you.
Beautiful. Sheila, thank you so much for sharing this with us today. I'm not currently grieving anyone, but other than my dog, it's been a while. But I feel lighter just the sense of possibility that this brings, let alone helping us out of grief. So thank you so much for sharing this gateway with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been such a joy, and I loved hearing your stories and your perspectives and taking it deeper through the connection.
I think after every one of these interviews, I think we should all get together like once a week and just talk.
Well, Those would be very wonderful conversations.
So, Sheila, thank you so much for sharing an hour with us today. And I look forward to talking again in the future.
Thanks. And I look forward to talking with you as well.
And thank you very much. Wow, what an amazing interview. I have actually never thought of grief as a gateway to grace. Sheila just creates such a compelling vision of turning such difficult experiences around to the being molded and created into the very positive person that she is today. She shared that typically in loss we try to push through or repress things, but instead she encourages us to embrace and to find really the gems and beauty, to open up to deeper relationships with spirit and even deeper relationships with people, both living and dead. So, you know, that kind of nice sounding language can be, you know, something where you wonder, can I really walk this talk? And Sheila assured us that that is the case. And she shared some of her amazing story about, from way back in pre-email days when she was a college student in London, and she lost several of her friends and classmates in the Pan Am Lockerbie bombing. And she shared this amazing story of going to stay at her friend's mom's home for their memorial and having a message from their daughter that her friend was sitting right there on her bed. She lost her nephew, just 18 months old. Lost her best friend from the UK, somebody she met as a high school exchange student, to cancer. She lost her partner in a hit and run. And she talked about grief in a broader sense, you know, the grief of divorce, for example. That today, with her ex, she has this beautiful co-parenting relationship. So, it's really an amazing thing. She had five steps she talked to us about, and to work through grief. And the first step was allowing yourself to surrender into the feelings. So she encourages us to dive in, that's allowed, first of all, to cry, but also to stay. Don't run away from the world. That we can go in deeply to that experience, that there is another side, that we can walk through this wall of fire and come out on the other side. She encourages us to take space, to find a support group, and for things to be okay. You know, the pain doesn't change for a long, long time. It's okay. We'll have better reminders. It's okay. That we can let the relationship continue even though we miss that person. She's talked about releasing limiting beliefs that make you feel alone. So, here, by limiting belief, she means beliefs that are things that we keep thinking that necessarily don't support us, don't really help us through. So she encourages us to examine those beliefs and to learn to be happy in this moment, to know that we aren't going to be sure about many, many things. And this resonated. We talked a little bit about how beautifully this resonates with the work of Byron Katie and some of the work of Abraham about letting go of beliefs that don't serve us, what would be empowering beliefs, and understanding that a belief is really a thought that we continue to think. And so we can help ourselves through in that way. Sheila's third step is to allow your loved one to grow even after death, or distance in the case of a living person. So again, she reminded us that we can grieve a divorce. She shared that she, even though her children are alive, she grieves the toddlers that they no longer are. A very understandable thing. Or a child that has gone off to college or moved off to start their own home in life. She said that we tend to try to hold a person to who they were, and that's not really fair or realistic. Instead, that we want to give them a chance to be who they are. Give them a chance to tell you what they are like now. through meditation or through just listening, to let them be that person, whether that's somebody who's alive now or somebody who has crossed over. To really understand that relationships are not static, that we all continue to grow through life and even after this life, and to allow and even embrace that. Sheila's fourth step was to allow your relationship to transform into something new and vibrant. So even a relationship with someone deceased can in fact transform and become new and vibrant. So we tend to think of ourselves as separate, and actually, and when someone is passed, they're less separate. It's only our attachment to physicality that maintains that illusion. She phrases this beautifully. She talks about this unseparateness lets us be two souls dancing with each other, and in fact, again, that it doesn't, we don't have to wait until they die for that to be the case. That we can use this as an opportunity to learn to love more deeply, and to let go of the sorts of behaviors and attitudes and beliefs that we use to try to protect ourselves, and instead of really learn to open and love. And her final step was to apply this understanding to all your relationships, honoring the small losses. And this is really the heart of what she calls the gateway to grace. Again, it's a gateway for grace to all of life, not just grief, so that we can grieve all the little things that happen in our lives. It's kind of a gift of renewal. You know, we can have a greater connection to our higher selves and the higher selves as people around us. It's a way to allow us to let the grief in, that it's just simply part of that journey. And we can find, therefore, joy in every moment, and not be disconnected like we're walking through that fire, but understand this all as one of the process about phases of life that we go through, to acknowledge those phases and to live fully in each of those moments. And that this grace is there around us all the time, whether we're aware of it or not. So just a beautiful, beautiful, uplifting approach to not only grief, but a wonderful guide for living life from Sheila Applegate. And then Sheila shared, she had a link to her a meditation that she's put together just for people in this program, a free guided meditation to help you connect with your loved ones, and that link is available right here in the module. So, just a wonderful, beautiful, uplifting conversation with Sheila Applegate. I'm so glad that she and I were able to connect and bring this interview to you. So go check out that free guided meditation, and I'm going to do that myself. Thanks, everybody. Take care.